Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 16 and 17. Again, that's Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, "When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there for many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, 'Is there any word from the Lord?' And Jeremiah said, 'There is.' Then he said, 'You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.'"
It is certainly good once again to have the opportunity to proclaim unto you the word of the Lord. I'm thankful that we have men capable here at the congregation to fill in the duties when the preacher's away. And we've had other men you know be able to perform this awesome task, because souls are at stake. And we need to be concerned about the souls of men, as those of us who are members of the body of Christ. Jesus said, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Other than your soul, my friends, there's nothing more important on this side of eternity and the existence than the word of God. Now, if you don't believe me, if you could possibly go over on the other side to those who didn't heed to God's word, they would let you know that they would give anything to come back and to hear it proclaimed again. I challenge some people who say there is no God. Now, Brother Dismuth laughed when I told him this, but I got tired of people telling me there's no God. I said, "Well, you must know everything then. Then if you know everything, then you ought to be able to kill yourself and go over on the other side and find out if God is there or not. Now, when you find out he ain't there, you come back. And if I don't see smoke and brimstone fire hanging off of you and the stench, then I'm going to take my Bible, throw it away, and tell everybody this has been a big old lie. Anybody met my challenge yet? So I'm going to hold on to the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word." God has revealed himself to man from the beginning, and God does exist. It's certainly good to have visitors with us today. We're certainly glad to have you in our midst. I see some out here. My mother and father and all are here from Gloucester. So you have a chance to meet them, and they brought a friend, Miss Delphine Drive. Please meet her and welcome her here in the fellowship. I see Sis Grimes there today, and I'm just mentioning a few that I see. But I'm just thankful that we have this opportunity to come together to worship God in spirit and truth and to praise God today. And let's pray for Brother Greg Dismuth that the gospel meeting will have much success there in Eatonton. I know those brethren were really looking forward to him being there this coming week. You have just heard in your reading in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, one who lamented over the ruins of Jerusalem as Judah had not long went into captivity. Jeremiah was one of those prophets who really was concerned about the condition of God's people in that day, as we ought to be concerned about the Lord's people today. Zedekiah had been reigning as they call a vassal king of Judah under the rule of Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar for, at this point, almost 10 years. It had been prophesied of the Israelites that they would eventually go into a 70-year captivity. Around about this time, around 606 BC, Israel had already been taken into captivity. The northern kingdom had already been taken by Assyria. And And so Judah saw this. Now, you know, you would think, okay, being that they had became a divided kingdom, and now seeing that Israel had played the harlot and had rebelled against God. Craig Stevens, could you please go to Jeremiah chapter 3 just for a moment as we just get just a little background here. And when you get there, go to verse 6 and read all the way to verse 8. Judah, who was of the southern kingdom, had seen this. Go ahead and start reading verse. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah 3, verse 6, starting to 8. Go ahead and read it.
The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king.
All right, Josiah was a good king, pious king. Josiah had made it possible for Jeremiah to preach to God's people. You know, there had been a doorway open. And that's what we need to be praying today, that those who are faithful to God have the access and the doors open to preach God's saving grace to a lost and dying world. Keep going.
Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done?
Backsliding Israel. You know what that means? Unfaithfulness. Not faithful to God. You see, actually, God is represented as the husband. And Israel actually is the wife. Sounds similar? Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. Keep going.
She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot.
Don't go up under the tree trying to play something. God sees it. God knows exactly what you're doing. Has played the what? The harlot.
The harlot.
Keep going.
And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not.
Stop right there. After she had done all these things, look at the love of God. He says, please come back to me. See, that should give you a different perspective of God. Now, wherefore those things are written in the foretime, as Paul had told the church at Rome, were written for who? Us. Our learning. That we, watch this, patience. Sometimes you got to get out of this busy world. And if you claim to love God and serve God, and to get to know God, you need to go back into his word and that which is written aforetime and through some patience. It takes patience to sit down and familiarize yourself with the will of the Lord. It takes time, brother. Wherefore, through patience, and watch this, and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Oh, did you hear it? Hope. Hope is not based on something you see. Hope is based on the promises of God and him illustrating through those scriptures in the past how he has dealt with man, and through his loving kindness and his compassion and his mercy, he still loved Israel. Even though she played the harlot. Sometimes when someone is unfaithful to us, we don't love them as much as we used to. I serve a different type of God, brother. I'm not perfect. You're not neither. And sometimes we mess up. And oh, Romans 5:8 shall ring loud in your ears. But God commendeth his love toward us, and yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear it? Oh, I'm going to mess up sometime. You're going to mess up sometime. And God still was loving. He still loved Israel. But you know what? The Lord chasteneth them whom he loveth. Yes. Now keep reading, Brother Craig.
But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it.
You hear that? Her treacherous sister. What's wrong with Judah? Is Judah doing the same thing? You would say, you would think, wait a minute. Oh, boy, I saw how God dealt with them. He allowed that heathen nation to take his own covenant people into captivity. I saw that. You would think, I need to straighten up. It's like you seeing your brother or sister get a spanking from mom and dad. Ooh, I better straighten up. But then you continue to do the same thing. And then mom and dad said, you get the same thing. And saw her treacherous sister. Keep going, Brother Craig.
And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce.
You hear that?
Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared.
You know what the problem is? You hear it? I didn't fear God. Well, what makes you think you're going to escape? Israel couldn't escape. Well, what makes you think you could do something and God not bring impending doom and judgment upon you? Keep going.
And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with the stones and with the stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than her than treacherous Judah.
You know what? He said, Israel, her sister, justified herself more than you did. He said, because Israel didn't get to sit back and see Judah take it away. You had a chance. You saw Israel, and you still did what you did. You get that? Did you catch that? You vainly. Which means your worship is empty. Idolatry was plaguing Israel back then and Judah. That was a big problem. It's a big problem right now. And so here's just a little background. Go to Jeremiah 6:16. Let me show you a dangerous attitude that had occupied Judah. Here's a dangerous attitude. Jeremiah 6:16, Craig.
Thus saith the Lord.
Here Jeremiah is warning these people. You know, God has never left us without warning. Out of his love. God wants nothing more for us to be in a right relationship with him. And see, man is prone to go out of the way. That's right, man goes out of the way. And God calls us back. Now, this is God's own people. 16, go ahead.
Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the way and see. As for the old path, there is the good way.
Stand ye in the way.
And walk therein.
You hear that? Stand ye in the way. See, when you're dealing with God, there's always a particular way. That's right, there's a certain way. It's contrary to the way of the world. And God, and Jeremiah says, now, go back into the old path. You know, we don't like that word old. Why is it we don't like old? You're going to get old. You live here long enough. Don't like that word old. You have old sayings, old wise proverbs. Yeah, some of them sayings mean something. The old man said, look, young man, you keep going to bed. That's not enough. But you keep getting up, you'll get there. That man was right. And he told me that back in the 80s. That's been 30 years ago. That means I'm 30 years old. But where he was, I'm on my way. Long as the Lord, I'm still alive. But you keep getting up, you're going to get older one day. That's right. I'm going to tell you like Brother Paul Richardson told me, getting old ain't for wimps. Now you're going to have to be tough. Because you ain't going to be able to get up out that seat and out that bed like you used to without the aches and the pains. They come along with the whole territory. And some of you are shaking your head right now. Now see, the young ones ain't doing that because you ain't there yet. But you keep living, you'll get there. But stand ye in the old path. Well, I said, this is what's happening in the old path. Wherein is the group. It's a good way. Oh, yeah. Don't think just because you're young, you're going to come up with some new way. There ain't nothing new under the sun. You better listen to your elders, those who are older than you, who've already been down that road, can tell you of the mistakes and what they've learned. That's wisdom crying out. A young man would do well to hear that of the older. Staying in the old paths, wherein is the good way. Keep going, Craig. And walk there in it. You know, don't just look at it, walk in it.
And ye shall find rest for your soul.
You know what that means? To walk it means obedience. It's not enough just to hear the instruction. Obey it. And we're going to get a little bit more on that in just a minute. Keep going.
But they said,
wait a minute, I don't like that word. But, you know what the word but is there? That's a contrast. I hear what you're saying, but you know what, Mom and Dad? I got this. I know you're trying. You don't want me to have fun. I know. I got this. No, you don't. You ain't got nothing. You don't know nothing. I know 17, 18. You just think you know it all. You don't know anything. And the little bit you know, that's right. Ain't going to help you out here in this life. A wise son will hear the counsel of his father. You see, because the parents have already been down that road. In this instance, it's God. God already knows the path that you need to take. All right, God, I know you want me to go down this path, but it's not as exciting. I don't want to go down there. I want to go down another path. Well, you know what? Go down that path. That's what Judah did. Showed a dangerous attitude.
But they said, we will not walk therein.
They said, we will not. What's God saying? God is still giving them a chance. God says, you need to come back. You need to come back to me. Oh, no. No, we know a little bit. We know, Lord. We got this. Really? Well, you know what happens? Now we get a few years later. All the impending doom. Here it comes now. We get almost right back where we are in the chapter where we started. Go back to chapter 37. And so then, there's after Josiah, here comes one Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim was reigned around the third year as a vassal king of Judah under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Jehoiakim eventually would revolt against Babylon rule, and a vast army of the Babylonians seized the city eventually. You see, the scroll given to Jeremiah, the word of God, was given to Berlah. And Berlah went and read this before the princes. After they read it, they went and consulted and took this to Jehoiakim. You see that in verse chapter 36. I'm not going to go there right, just give you a little background. Now, when they read what God said about the impending doom, Jehoiakim took it, and as he was standing by a hearth of fire, took it and cut it into pieces. I don't want to hear no more about that. And burned it. That's right. I don't want to hear no more. That's like someone coming to you today to teach you the gospel. I don't want to hear no more about that. And you take a knife and cut it all apart and throw it in your fireplace. And you know what God said? When you get to Jeremiah chapter 36, and the Bible says in verse 20, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying this, take thee again another roll. Did you hear that? Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words, God says. God's will gonna be done, brother. Whether you like it or not, it's gonna get done. He says, take you another roll. And then he says right here, he says, and write it in all the former words that were in that first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, have burnt, showing a very dangerous attitude in this case. And so they took another roll. And then Jehoiakim would eventually come off that throne. And then here come Jehoiakim, his son. And then he would only last for so long. And then finally we get to Zedekiah. Now Zedekiah evidently had to have seen or known all of this. And so we get to chapter 37. And the Bible says, and Zedekiah the son of Josiah reigned instead of Kaniah the son of Jehoiakim, who Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Here's one of those vassal kings again. But now look at verse 2. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Does that seem to be a constant theme here? I ain't listening. What do we learn here? I'm not listening. Here's Jeremiah pleading and proclaiming God's word to these people, and they're not listening. It got so bad that Zedekiah was trying to consult with Egypt to get her armies to get the Chaldeans, Babylonians, to back off. And that only lasted for a moment. Look at chapter 37. Look at verse 8. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord. Look what the Lord says here. Deceive not yourself, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. You hear what God is saying? God saying, I have will that the Chaldeans, that heathen nation, will come and destroy this place. Now, who are we going to destroy? His own people. Their own death, that glorious temple that Solomon had built, the house of God that had all the precious garments and gold and jewels and all that. He was going to allow the heathen to come in and destroy them. Did you hear that? These God's people. You need to grasp that. This is God's people. God has a way of chastising to bring about repentance. And that's what's necessary right here. And you know, Zedekiah, after that took place, and when Jeremiah proclaimed in the gate, there was another one that saw him and thought he was allied with the Chaldeans. That's why Jeremiah ended up in prison. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's why he ended up there. And so then Zedekiah, knowing all this taking place and hearing that prophecy, of course, he was afraid. This ministry was somewhat difficult. This was not easy for Jeremiah, because Jeremiah loved Judah. Jeremiah, who cared so much. You know, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Knowing that this prophecy was like a wound that hit to the core of your disobedience. And that now, it's hard for me to imagine that God would allow some heathen nation to come in and take us over. But yes, he is. And because of that message, you know, sometimes God's messages are punished for telling the truth. You know what? Some people will punish you for telling the truth. Oh, yes, they will. Maybe that's why some of them won't tell the truth. Because we are afraid of the repercussions. And you know very well you need to tell them the truth. And then, you know, we become afraid and we don't tell them the truth. Now, are we being honest? Not in a sense. Now, we need to tell the truth in love. We're not there to destroy them or hurt them. But Jeremiah was telling the truth because he was commanded to do so. And Jeremiah did it out of love, but yet he was thrown in prison for this. And so Zedekiah must have knew something special about Jeremiah. You know why? Because he came to him secretly. Isn't that what we read in our hearing? The Bible says right here, and Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Notice he was there many days. And Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him, watch this, secretly. He ain't do it in the open. You see, his inquiry is full of hypocrisy, because now his fail-safe has been done away with. You see, the Egyptian armies, they went back, so he don't have them anymore. This thing that's about to happen with the Chaldeans, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it'll do well that you listen. And so he says here, is there any word from the Lord? Well, wait a minute. The man been preaching all this time. Well, you want to hear something different? Is there any word from the Lord? And my friends, brother, isn't that a timely question? Isn't that something we should be asking today? Is there any word from the Lord? For the young people, is there any word from the Lord? And the reply would come back like this. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalm 119 verse 9. Let me tell you, young people, God can preserve you and save you if you obey him. It's dangerous out here right now. Man, there are ruthless people, like lawless people, disobedient, rebellious people who care not about the laws of this land, will shoot you in a minute if you say the wrong words. But God can preserve you. You obey the Lord, and you won't be out there in that filth. Yes, sir. Out there in them clubs at night, out there in the street at night, where the lawless one hurts and prowls. The predator is out there. Yes, he is. And our young people are leaving this world left and right, fastly in this world, without God in their lives. Because if God was in your life, you wouldn't be out there. I know. I used to be out there, and there ain't nothing out there. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. Been on both sides of the fence. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto? That would get rid of young women having pregnancies. Flee fornication. There you go. Oh, quiet in here now. Yes, sir. Abstain from your lust at war against the soul, young people. For those of us who just obeyed the gospel, you need to hear this carefully. I still don't understand it. When a young person obeys the gospel and claim to love God, then show up pregnant. What happened? What just happened? I tell you what, you didn't stand in the way. You didn't look back at the old path. You refused to hear God. You know more than God. So you end up the way you end up. I'm not saying this to be unkind. Life has three teachers, brother. Jeremiah said, I know that the way of man ain't in himself. That's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. What are you talking about, Jeremiah? From history. History is a teacher. And you look back at the frailties of man and the faults and the failures of man. Observance is a teacher. History and observation. You know what? Just look around you. All you got to do is look. That's what God wants you to do. Just look. And you see the shipwrecks of men's lives. And then the last teacher is your own personal experience. You haven't made a mistake. You said, man, I wish I had never done that. But you know what? There is recovery. Just like they had messed up, God has a plan for you to recover. It's not all, it's not all lost. And so you might have messed up. That's why some things seem impossible, but they're not. God can rectify the situation, but you got to be willing to come back to God and let him do it and not you. You got to give God a chance in this matter. Let God rectify your life. Let God put you back together. God is the only one that can put you back together. That's why we got so many walking around here looking just as hopeless. Every day is clouds, there ain't no sun. Come on, brother. Yes, sir. Wherewithal, that's a word from the Lord. What about the married couples? Is there any word from God for the married couples? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, modern day America 2015 don't like that. And you want to know why your husband still ain't there. You can't have two heads in the house. Can't be but one. The head of every woman is man. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of Christ is God. That's divine order. I can't change that. You can't change that. None of us can. Does that mean your man better than you? No. That's just the order God has authorized. That's all. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wife. This message is for me too. That's because my wife back there, so I gotta be obedient today. And my mama there too. I got double obedience. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. It's not domineering. It's not an oppression. Care, nurture your wife. Serve your wife. Oh, so wait a minute, what you just said? Yes. Serve your wife. That is your rose in the midst of your garden. You get those weeds out of there. It takes work for a marriage to work. There's nothing wrong with fixing a supper for your wife after she's worked hard all day just like you to help out. There's nothing wrong with helping out around the house from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that, brother. That's why you're the head. You are the leader. You are the example to your family. That's all. Amen, Walls. I hear some of them out there. Wherewithal, what would the word of God say? Parents, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. To our civil leaders, brother, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. Elders, preachers, deacons, and teachers, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. James 3. Take heed, brothers, elders, unto yourselves as unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Is there any word from the Lord? Those who are seeking the salvation of God, are you seeking honestly? Are you ready to hear what thus saith the Lord? many will say, I love God. And then when they hear the truth, they walk away. Those disciples in John chapter 6 are the only ones that walk away from the Lord. You ever sat down and have a Bible study with someone, and then you start getting into some more truth? And man, whew, they can't believe what they're hearing. They done heard so much false doctrine that when the truth finally comes, it's unrecognizable. Jesus said, now listen to this stern warning, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. John Matthew 7:21. Underline the word will. You must make sure that you are doing the will of the Father. I don't care what T.D. Jakes says. I don't care what Creflo Dollar says. Kenneth Copeland and all the rest of them out there. John Hagee, they won't be the judge on Judgment Day. Jesus will be. And if any man reject me, the words I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Who's that? Christ. Christ is going to be the judge. That's the one we need to be listening to. John 12, verse 48. Is there any word from the Lord? Worshiper. We come to worship God in spirit and truth. That's what we say. But is that true? What's in your heart when you come to worship God? Are you prepared to offer your worship to God? This ain't entertainment society. This ain't entertainment, brethren. We don't come here to get entertained. We come here to serve, to worship, to labor, to offer sacrifice to Almighty God. As Brother Dispute has said in the previous sermon, God is the audience. We're the performers. And we need to be careful how we behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, that we strive to do all things in decent and in order. And if you're on your little play device, your little 4G, 5G, 6G, your Galaxy 4, your tablet, it better be the word of God on there and not what's playing at the movies this evening. That is disrespectful to Almighty God. You don't think God knows that? Your worship is in vain. For in vain they do worship, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. Vain worship do exist. Now those are great gadgets. And with expediency can help us to access the word of God if the Bible is loaded on there. And you can go to the scripture. But if you're looking at something worldly, that's irreverence. God is to be greatly feared and had in reverence of all them that are about him. Brethren, yes. When we approach God in our worship, we should give due reverence to who he is. He's the Almighty. We got to be careful how we approach Almighty God. You don't come and approach God and it lacks a daisy or way, a man of order. You bring your very best to God. You bring your very best to God because God gave his very best for you. Yes, he did. He gave the best heaven had to offer. So how dare we come with this irreverent, flippant attitude to God? And you think about it, we only come here for what, an hour of Bible study and another hour for worship. And then you get to go home and rest and eat your biscuits, whatever you're going to eat, and come back tonight and we worship again. And then after that, you got, you know, Monday, Tuesday. I mean, you still, now you think about that, God is still watching. Because now, after you come here and you get restored and fired back up and spiritually energized, to face that rough week that we may be facing. And thank God that the elders have made it possible to set up midweek Bible study. Take advantage of that. To continue to spiritually enliven you as we study and embark on God's will for our lives. You see, the dangerous attitude back then. They didn't want to hear. God said you didn't hearken. And so is there any word from the Lord? Well, you know what? Asking the question is not enough. You see, he didn't ask it honestly. He was inquiring because of the impending doom. You see, so when he came to Jeremiah, and he came secretly, he says, is there any word from the Lord? Well, you know what? Jeremiah told him the same thing he had told him earlier. He thought Jeremiah was going to change his message. Jeremiah didn't change his message. Just like some of us. You know what? We find out that maybe the mate we have, we're not scripturally married to him. We find that out. It's already been done. We go to God's word and find out that God has only given one cause for a man to put their mate away, and that's because of fornication. We find that out later after, you know, we've already done. You know, I saw this many years ago when I first got here. This couple found out after 10 years of marriage that their marriage wasn't scriptural. Now, that's going to take a lot. You spent 10 years together. The emotions are all tied in. You've been intimate. And no one's saying you don't really care for one another. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that if you really love me, you can't put them before me. Some people will have to bear a hard cross here. Oh, this can be tough. That's why the truth is preached here. I've seen people hear the truth on this and they walk away and don't come back. You think that's going to change? I don't know if you go to another congregation. That word is still there. Matthew 19:9. We've all heard that before. It ain't going to change, brother. And if you find out that your marriage is not right, you need to do something to make it right. That's right. Now, because as Brother Eric Owen said one time, ain't no man or woman worth your soul. Adultery is real. Oh, it's flooded in these so-called church houses. These preachers ain't going to preach on that. Why? Because you're going to hurt their pocketbook. That's why the love of money is evil. You see, truth is more precious. What did Solomon say? Buy the truth and what? Don't you sell it. But some people are going to sell it. I can't afford to lose my congregation with half of them and it might be an adultery. Brother, that ain't going to change. It's not going to change. God means what he says. God's not going to bend his law. The impending doom was coming. Brother, if Zedekiah liked what he heard or not, it's coming. And so he wasn't asking it honestly. You see, because some people ask, well, what does the Bible say about this? You know, they're not real. Well, is it really a heaven or a hell? You know, and so you try to answer that. And some people are inquiring. Well, what does the Bible say about marriage, divorce, remarriage? Well, what does the Bible say about the church? Well, what does the Bible say about miracles? And you can go on and on and on with all these questions. But are they asking it out of an honest heart? See, you sit down, and I've seen people, you study with them, and you show them the truth. And, you know, and someone say, yep, I see exactly what it says, and they still don't obey. You know what the problem is? It's called repentance. Do you know what repentance is all about? Now, most of us in the church, we've been familiarized with this. But you know what? When you teach someone, you need to teach them thoroughly what repentance is all about. They need to know that deep resolve within yourself, that determination that after hearing the beautiful word of God, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to obey his will. I am going to go on those old paths wherein is the good way. See, that's on you, my brother. When someone comes up here and says they're repenting of something, all we see is the outside. That's between them and their God, whether they repent or not. That's correct. They're just acknowledging that they have not been living right and that they're now rekindling their allegiance back to their God. But it's up to them to fulfill that repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. It's an imperative that a person repents or he's going to perish. Luke 13:3. God guarantees that. That's from the word of God. God says, likewise, unless you repent, you are going to perish. Now, what does that mean? You're going to be lost in the end. That's what it means. And when a person truly repents, he will live righteously, whether he's around his brethren or by himself. Is there any word from the Lord? And so you sit down and you study. Go to number one about the Lord. Number one, yes. In Luke chapter 10, read that for me just for a minute. round about verse 24, 25.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Did you hear that? Did you hear what the lawyer? A lawyer came, he was inquiring of Jesus. But the Bible says he came tempting him. What does that sound like? Does that sound like pure motive to you? That's impure motive. If you are sincere about having eternal life, you won't come tempting the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hear what Craig just read. Read it again, Craig.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Keep going. What should I do?
And he said unto him, what is written in the law?
Now, written in the law, at this time, Jesus is referring back to the law of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses right now, but Jesus lived under the law of Moses. So notice what Jesus tells him. Stop right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Brethren, that's from the Lord himself. When is it that a man loves God? You know what Jesus said? When he keeps my commandments. That's the proof in the pudding. Don't care how much I may utter with my lips, but my actions should follow. That's right. Oh, how I love the Lord, really? Not if I'm not obeying you. You see, I can't live like a goat and die like a sheep. Can't do it. I have to live like a sheep in order to die like a sheep. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord your God. See, start right back there. That starts first. That is most important. It's in priority order. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Keep going. All your soul, all your inner being, you're to love him. Where are we in that, brother? How much do you really love God? You know in your action. All you got to do is look back over this past week, see what you've been involved in, what you've been doing when you're by yourself. How much do you love him? With all your heart. Oh, you know, he didn't stop right there just in your heart. God went down even in your soul. You see, there got to be some feelings involved in this. That's that zeal, that fervor, that excitement for him. Like we get excited for other things, some things that we really love to do. You know that whatever it is that you really love to do. You know how you get excited about that? Not that there's anything wrong in itself, as long as it's not against the Lord. You take a man that loves fishing, ain't nothing wrong with fishing. That's something that he just loves. That man gets prepared. It's his fishing rod, goes to Bass Pro Shop, get the best one they got, spends top dollar for the best rod and reel, make sure the trout don't get away.
Yes.
Plans all the day before he goes the next day, spends money to get gas for the boat if he's going out on the boat. Can't sleep at night, he's so anxious he can't wait to get up in the morning to get the rod they catch. Now, in itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But do you have that kind of excitement when it comes to him? Huh? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and what?
And with all thy strength.
All thy strength. As Brother Mike Brent would say, use me, Almighty God, till I can't be used any longer. That's what we're talking about. Use me till I'm no more good. That's what God wants in his house. And let me tell you what, when you give yourself to the Lord in that manner, somebody's going to take notice. Because you have sanctified God in your heart. And somebody's going to take note, and they're going to ask you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There you go. They're going to ask you. So you got to be ready to what? Give an answer. Here's the right motive and attitude. In meekness and fear. And humility, you give them the right answer. And in fear because of who you're giving that answer for. What's that next and most important law?
And with all thy strength, with all thy mind.
Yes.
And thy neighbor as thyself.
And thy neighbor as thyself. You know, this lawyer thought he was going to get out of this. Oh, yeah, I love to serve you, God. But wait a minute. Don't stop right there, the Lord says. See, you ain't in this world by yourself. See, if you're the only one in this world, you ain't got to worry about that second commandment. because it'd be just you. But guess what? We're not in this world alone. You know, that's why some people don't have anybody around them. Some people just want cats and dogs. I know people like that, they just by themselves. They don't want to be around nobody. You want to know why? Because somebody might say something back to them. Mm-hmm. So they get a cat for comfort and a dog. I ain't saying anything wrong with that. They don't want to be around somebody else because somebody might reprove them. Somebody might say something that tick them off, get upset, grouchy. But what, as the lawyer, is tempting him? You see, now think about this now. Because you see, God's going to involve Gentiles in this down the road. That's why Jesus is going to make this statement he's making. Keep going.
And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Well, go back just a little bit earlier. Love thy neighbor. Get back to that part again.
Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind.
All right, a little bit behind that. Keep going.
And love
thy neighbor as thyself. God, not only love yourself, but see, you should love yourself as well. But God also say, love your neighbor. Now, who is your neighbor? Well, he's going to go down, and he's going to give that story about the priest. That's right, and the Levite. And then the Samaritan. And guess what? You would expect the priest to help this poor man that's beaten, or the Levite. But no. Contrary to what we think, it would be the Samaritan that would help. That's right, the Samaritan. And don't you just love the way the Lord teaches here? You see, in other words, don't you just go serve black people. You go serve the white people. You serve the Mexicans that's coming over here. You serve the Chinese. You serve all of them, no matter what color they are. Every one of them is your neighbor. Don't you be prejudiced like that was a prejudice. That shouldn't even be in your heart. Sir, not if Christ is your peace. Christ has broken that little wall down between Jew and Gentile. How dare you have that prejudice, bias, attitude when God died for that individual? You're the one that has the saving grace, the gospel, that treasure in your heart. Then you tell them about it. It may be that God is causing these people to influx into our country because the Lord's church resides here. That's right. We are the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. We are to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. That ain't talking about just preachers. That's every member of the body of Christ. Who is your neighbor? He trying to tempt the Lord. The Lord's getting ready to say, every man your neighbor. Not just the one that lives next door to you. That's right. Is there any word from the Lord? You know, last but not least, this is a question that must be asked out of a will to do. You see, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know something? He prepared his heart. You see, as he seek the law of the Lord, Ezra knew that this was most important because he prepared his heart to do this. You see, as Paul warned the church at Thessalonica, there are some who do not prepare to do the truth. And so he says, and with all deceit and unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, a lot of people don't like. I'm going to say some things kindly, but brethren, visitors, those visiting, if you go back to the Bible, you will find out that when Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, it wasn't Jeremiah's church, it wasn't Isaiah's church, it wasn't John the Baptist's church, it wasn't Paul's church, it's not my church, it's not your church. It's Christ's church. Jesus built the church. And unfortunately, men over the eras of time have gotten away from that. And that's why 1 Timothy 4:1 warns, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter some shall depart from the faith. That's from the Word of God. God knew men would depart from his pattern. He knew that.
Because, you know, I've had people ask me, why are there so many churches? That's a good question. Let me give you something. You got computers? You go on YouTube. And you put in there Don Blackwell. Why there are so many churches. And he will give you a very great description of what took place when the Lord's church started back in Acts 2 on that first Pentecost day, Acts 2, 30, in 33 AD. And that every time somebody obeyed the gospel, the Lord added that individual to the church. And so if you preach that same gospel, the Lord will add that person to the church that started back then. And somebody, you know, most people think that the Roman Catholic Church is the oldest church. No, it's not. It's 600 years late. The first church is the Lord's church. And how does the Lord's church get established? By his word. So wherever the pure gospel is preached and men and women obey, there you have the Lord's church. And Paul told the church at Corinth, is there any word from the Lord in this matter? Yes, there is. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things over the church, which is his body. Now, let's watch this. The church is the body. The body is the church. Learn to teach somebody this. Ephesians 4, there is one body. Can't get that confused. That's in the word of God. Ephesians 4, 4, I'll direct you there. That didn't come from T.D. Jake, didn't come from Creflo Dollar, didn't come from Pat Roberts, Oral Roberts, and any other Roberts. That's from the word of the Lord. There is but one. I sat down with this lady one time, long time ago, and we went into the prophecies and the histories, and she saw the Lord's church, and when she saw it for what it was, she said, but what about my friends? I said, lady, what about your soul? You putting your friends before your soul. Here, God is calling you, revealed this truth to you, and you see it for what it is, and the first thing you're doing is you're going to your emotions. You see, you got to use your intellect when searching the scriptures. God's word is truth and it's objective. You got to see it for what it is. When God says he ain't got but one, that's all there is. There ain't gonna be a different answer. And I know some people say, well, I hear what that says. He said, there's that attitude again. Now, I don't have time to go into all that because we'd be here till 2 o'clock this evening and somebody'd be mad with me and I ain't going to be able to get back in the pulpit tonight. But if you want to study, I'll sit down with you after a while, later. We'll sit down. We'll talk about this. We can talk about this. You need to know who the Lord's house is and who the church is. You better believe the devil knows. Because when Jesus made that statement upon this rock, I'm building my church, you know what the devil's doing? Okay, then I want to have mine too. And you won't know who the Lord's church is. Yeah. Just as God is not the author of confusion, then you know he is. There you go. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 6, that we're not to think of men above that which is written, but yet a lot of us give too much credence to these men. We put them on places where they got no place being. But my preacher said this, your preacher won't be the judge. Christ will be. Is there any word from the Lord as far as your salvation? Let me tell you what. My preacher said all you got to do is pray and accept the Lord as your personal Savior, and that's not in the Bible. And people bite that hook, line, and sinker. It's not there. I'm going to tell you what the apostles said, who were guided by the truth, by the Holy Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your soul. Now, let me tell you something. What I do is I challenge a person, at what point do you contact the blood of Jesus? You know, I don't even talk about that. At what point? You see, because I need to know what you know. I can't tell you where I'm at unless I find out where you are. Is there any word from the Lord? If you go back to the Bible, you'll see that those inspired men told people that they had to hear and they had to believe, that they had to repent and they had to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon doing that, now they are ready to be baptized. Baptism, my friends, is the final step that consummates the birth. It completes it. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter. What? Into the kingdom of God. What's that? The church. Can't get in. You must be washed by the blood. And when do you contact the blood? In the baptism. So it's wrong then if I go to my baptism believing I'm already saved and then I get baptized. What are you getting baptized for? Baptism is for dead people. People who repent. It's a burial, brother. When the last time you've been to a funeral and the person got up out the coffin? How many of you ran out of here? Well, why am I going to go get baptized? Why am I going to get buried if I'm already alive? You see, the baptism is the burial, burying the old man and thus coming up a new man. I'm spiritually alive now. Romans chapter 6, read it, 3-5. For if we've been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When that Ethiopian eunuch heard that gospel message, he heard it and the chariot stopped. After Philip had preached Jesus, and the Bible says, see, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And yet you got all of these denominational preachers telling people baptism is not essential. What? If it's not, then the Lord doesn't know it. Because Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Is there any word from the Lord? There it is. Mark 16, 15 and 16 is right there. Have you obeyed the gospel, my friends? Who am I talking to today? Have you obeyed the pure gospel? That's the only way we're going to get to heaven. Now, I know there's a lot of good people. And I'm not saying people don't want to get to heaven. But you know what? You got to come on the Lord's terms. That's right. If you find out you have not done that correctly, then you need to go back and with a sincere heart inquire about this. And obey it before it's everlasting too late. You see, the Philippian jailer said, Lord, he said, what must I do to be saved? That's the most important question anyone could ever ask. Now, a lot of us have obeyed the gospel in here. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes. For those of us who are members of the church, he said, be thou faithful unto death. And then I'll give you a crown. That's the word from him. If you have not obeyed the gospel, then the Lord says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you can receive the gift of God. What's that? Your salvation of your soul. And the promise of being with him in the end. Now, when you obey the gospel, when you come up out of that baptism, you're going to come up in the Lord's church. Did you know that? That's what it means. You're going to be baptized, and the Lord, Acts 2:47, is going to add you to the church. That's his family. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there are. Yes, there is. And so, Zedekiah, unfortunately, had his eyes put out. He had to witness his two sons put to death, and then they took his eyes out because he would not surrender, because he didn't ask with a sincere heart. And so his end was not that great. But I'm here today. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. And today, you can embark on that salvation that God has available. I've just went over what you need to do. Have you been taught properly? Have you been taught correctly? See, you can't be taught incorrectly and obey correctly. That can't happen. You must be taught correctly in order to obey correctly. Is there any word from the Lord? If you need to adhere to this invitation, please do so as we stand and sing. Careless.